This week on RSVMB Update, we are just days away from Azanandra's quest and the kickoff of the Elder God Wars. What should you expect? What characters are involved? And will your expectations be met? Also, what do the Elder God Wars look like? And is this an expansion in disguise? This is RSVMB Update, episode 817, recorded Thursday, February 18th, 2021. Expanding expectations. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVMB Update. It is just Tanis and myself here this week. Finally. We just had... Folks who don't know, we just had a wonderful technical experience for the last 45 minutes here. From your internet not working to Discord completely shutting down on your end, and on my end, apparently, some microphone static issues, but we're not going to touch anything. We're just going to talk into the thing, and we should be good to go in other sense. But, you know... It's that sometimes you just have those weeks, and you know I'm glad it happened this week when we're kind of just ramping up to what is going to be the big to do next week, as we found out, and of course the impending double XP live. You weren't here last week; you couldn't make the time that we booked for Sirion. You had something come up at the last end, so we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that after, but. Welcome back, everybody, and of course, I am Shane12088, and he is Tanis79. And if you want to join us in-game, you can find our friends chat at BitsBytes. And, you know, people want to talk about Double XP Live. I still want to call it Double XP Weekend, but, you know, we'll talk a bit about what we're going to be doing with that a little bit after. But we got a big reveal this week. That, you know, we really weren't anticipating this. I wasn't anticipating this to be this soon. But next week, launching in-game, is Azanandra's Quest, which is the introduction to the Elder God Wars. Did you expect to have something like this so soon?
No. And I didn't, what's up with... Are the questers getting love all of a sudden or something?
I think we are.
I'm feeling left out or something.
Because this is going to be two quests and three mini-quests within the first 2 months of the year.
And I know. I'm like, what?
That's five weeks out of 8 updates in total so far this year.
And there's going to be more.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that this is kind of the beginning. Not to say that all the content will be quest-related, but there's going to be some quests.
Yeah. I want to just jump right into this and play back the little introduction video that was shown on live stream, a teaser for the quest, and then a fantastic monologue overview by Mod Raven. So we'll just listen to that, and then we'll pick it up right after that.
Ancient powers. Older than time itself. Seeking life? No. Destruction. Deadly forces gather. We must prepare.
RuneScape Elder God Wars, and icons for each of the Elder God Wars, of course. Azanandra's Quest coming February 22nd. And then we go into a little monologue here with Mod Raven.
Arianne's glimpse into the future has revealed an unavoidable truth. War is coming, and the very fate of Gilenor is at stake. The Elder Gods are rising. As tensions build between the citizens of Gilenor and the Elder Gods, Seren's Council still has yet to form an effective plan to stop them. War, and the very destruction of Gilenor itself, feels inevitable. This month will mark the beginning of the year's epic storyline, and you, the World Guardian, will be at the very center of it. It is time to prepare for the Elder God War.
He did wonderful with that, didn't he?
He did a nice job there. Mod Raven to do our voice acting here on out. Told you, we don't need much. That'll do.
Yeah, and you know, there's actually a discussion about voice acting in the quest, but we'll get to that after. But Elder God Wars, Azanandra's Quest, of course, is on the way next Monday. And this live stream is what we're going to start off with this week, because this is, you know, going to be, I think this is going to be one of those moments in time for RS where things, you know, just in effect turn directions. And this is going to be the biggest turn since archaeology, I think.
This is going to be something we haven't seen before. And I am here for it. I am really, really here for it. Everything finally fell into place, and I kind of got how why expansions went the way they were, why this is going to be different, how this is going to be sustained over time, how they have to protect RuneScape players from themselves. Ahmad Osborne said some things.
Yeah,
in
I want to get into
stream.
That. I want to get into that.
I couldn't believe it.
I don't know that now's the right time for that, but we will talk about that at the live stream here, because you know, the sense I got is that this is an expansion by any other name, and you know, it's just going to be trickled out over time in various ways, and that's good. I think that's the way it needs to be done. But for those unaware, Azanandra is a Majorant. He, like all other Majorats, also have a human form as well that they were able to use to just hide themselves in the midst of the world until it was time. And Azanandra is, of course, Dr. Nabonak. And those who are familiar with the archaeology skill will know that Dr. Nabonak is the one who is the researcher at Coronet, which makes sense when you see the way things are kind of lining up for this quest going forward.
Well, were you able to catch the trailer that was like voiced with Azanandrin?
That was the opening cutscene of the quest. That was the opening
cutscene. Oh.
Yeah, that was an opening cutscene of the quest. And
that was awesome.
Do you want to look at that now, or should we look at some other things first? Because, I mean,
well,
we
what
can
I
go
like
chronologically
that
in the live stream, or we can kind of jump around a bit.
Well, see, what I like about that is I think it does a really nice job of kind of surmising who he is and what's going on, like what we're going to be looking at and dealing with. So
effectively the mascot for this quest,
yeah,
and story chapter, so to speak, because that's what it is. It is a story chapter, and, you know,
this is the opening act.
Exactly.
I mean, if this is going to go the way that I think, in the way that they're alluding to, this is the opening act, right? This is the thing that kind of like really gets the war going. Like, we've had some stuff on the edges.
This is when
we've
the Duke gets
build-up.
Assassinated.
Nice reference, Shane. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, the Elder God Wars, they said in the live stream here that it's going to be a much more massive and expansive experience than was originally planned for the Elder God Wars dungeon, because the two previous ones of them were just, you know, PVM dungeons with some bosses related to the gods in there. And they wanted to take this one step up and kind of roll it out all throughout the year and make an experience surrounding it and tell that story that is that of the Elder Gods and the impending doom of their eggs hatching. And, you know, I know that they really are enjoying everything that they have said in this live stream, because if you watch this live stream, you'll see that Mod Osborne was visibly animated at the chance to effectively tell a story through more than just quests. And something that will be more than just an expansion, that he said. And we'll talk about the expansion thing as well, because they mentioned where that was going. And the goal that they set up throughout this entire Elder God Wars series of updates is that they wanted to be able to see what it would be like to have the player at a center of the war, and what exactly would happen, and what stories would be told, and what stories would lead to the war. And this is what you said, and this is where it all kicks off this coming Monday.
Yeah, this is, well, and think about it, like, if we get pieces of story, if this war breaks out, like, there are going to be little microcosms, little, I mean, I'm not saying they're all quests, but there could be a little bottle quest that's dealing with this front, this area of the war, this little story. Because that's how wars are, right? We can take this big, huge top-down view, but you can also take it all the way down to the little individual stories of the people going through it at the time. And while that's happening, you could get elements of story telling you what was happening in a totally different place. Kind of like, oh, there's an egg over here on this continent, this front, this is what's happening over here. Oh, this is happening over at, what is it, Ice Mountain? Where, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's one of them.
Yeah, so I can see a lot of different angles they can do, and I'm really excited. We've seen how they've been on a roll with being able to tie a story in with different kinds of content. So this could be, you know, this could be a real, like, solidifying that approach with this, if this works. I think this is a big initiative that Mod Warden has been pushing. And we got to talk about what Mod Osborne said at some point. I mean, we got to.
Yeah, let's do that now about the expansion, because the way they went into that discussion was that, you know, this is their first real promise and their first real commitment to carry this story forward throughout the entire year, throughout different types of content, without losing momentum and getting caught up on something else, like happened with Sliske or Anachronia. And this was also at the point at which they said it's not going to be an expansion where we just, you know, dump a whole boatload of content on you on one day and tell you to play through it in, you know, 2 months.
Right. But did you notice why?
I'm gonna let you break this part, because I caught this as well, and you were very pleased to hear about this. So you can tell the listeners exactly why.
Because they finally understand, Shane. Like, RuneScape players, they're players, they're grinders. They got to know things. They want the next story. If you give them expansion, and this is the whole, it never dawned on me. I never made this connection, but this is why the expansion model didn't work with us so well here, because we will fly through content like that, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's expectation. We have these expectations, like Mod Osborne was saying, hey, what will people expect out of a God Wars Dungeon 3? Oh, you know, 4 factions, 4 bosses, this, that. And it's the whole Henry Ford thing. You know, what would people want? A faster horse. It's that all over again. And he said it's time that we don't look and put quite so much into player expectations in that regard and do what's right for the game. I heard the heavens sing. It opened up. There was a choir. I heard trumpets. That's a big deal. And it really makes me think we're going to get really solid content that tells this story all the way from bossing to questing to skilling. We're going to have an expansion, but we're going to be protected from our worst habits as RuneScape players. I don't know how you can ask for any more. And I don't know where all these revelations came from, but they're there, and I'm here for it. I'm happy.
The answer is courage.
Yeah.
Some
courage.
As in, you need a series of strong updates leading up to this one that build up that courage so that you know, in effect, the high-level blueprint of what works, as was with archaeology, as was with Anachronia when it finally was fully formed and the desperate measures and storyline associated with that. But as well, the thing that many people don't realize is that in doing this, this is in effect wiping away years of what I feel has been at times self-doubt amongst the teams as to whether or not certain things should be done. Because, you know, as we talked about in our 20-year rundown, there were lots of times where they would, you know, kind of capture lightning in a bottle and then it would go away for another year and a half or so. And then they would briefly come back to that. And it was kind of it was kind of an interesting process to look back on over 20 years. And I think that years of, in effect, let's just say predefined expectations from the player's end of what both Jagex expects of the players and what they expect of themselves has been shaked off. And I wrote about this a long, long time ago, and I said it would take one huge hit update. And then Jagex would be able to, in effect, go out there and make groundbreaking content that they think of themselves, that they plan themselves, and the players would accept with open arms. And it was a long road getting there from, you know, dealing with all the unfinished business things to revamping a bunch of the skilling stuff like safe cracking and deep sea fishing, clue scrolls, player owned farms, the mining and smithing rework, and then archaeology. That's that big update after they get that first wind of fresh air that they put out, the players enjoy. And then after that, you just keep building on that and building on that. And then you get to the point we're at today. And this is something I think that's been really building since 2017, 2018, honestly. And it's nice to see it coming to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, it's a huge step. And I think he proved, I mean, to me, he really proved his point, because who can argue with that? Like, who didn't have that at some point if you weren't, you know, paying real close attention to the live streams and whatnot? Who wouldn't have pictured that as a God Wars Dungeon 3? You would, I mean,
or just
naturally.
You know, Elder God Wars, right?
Yeah, Elder God Wars. But yeah. you would have had that expectation of what an Elder or what a God Wars is supposed to be, right? Like, I just, that to me made complete sense. And to make something better than that, we got to let them go out from that. To me, it's like we're getting the best aspects of what you get out of an expansion in different games. But catered to us in our, because we are just so OCD apparently and compulsive that we will chew it up
too
fast. Yeah. So we're getting it in the bites that we need. But I mean, but when you think about it, you know, this is what I would think of an expansion. Yes, you get some fighting, but you get, everything has story. There might be, you know, new training or new this or new this, but it's all wrapped up either in an area or an overarching story arc or something like that. And we're finally getting that. And the pieces that we need as RuneScape players to not, you know, chew it all up in one night, you know, of our Halloween candy.
And, you know, we went from a period where players' expectations needed to be managed, whereas we still have those expectations today. But those expectations don't hinge now on the success of content that comes out and haven't for, you know, at least a year now. And that's the really wonderful thing about this.
Yep.
Now,
I agree.
It gets really interesting too, because, you know, they say, how do you do this without, you know, winding up in a situation where it's this huge thing where, you know, the world's going to die. And the big question is, how do you carry a storyline forward? And how can the World Guardian or even the world itself have a chance with this? And, you know, they said there are strong answers to this, and the journey is ultimately going to be part of it.
And yeah, you got to trust the storytelling, right? Because yeah. when I was thinking about the elder gods and what was happening after Desperate Measures, where was the story going? I couldn't really figure out what we were going
to
do.
Right, and they said that was, you know, effectively one way of trying to solve the problem. It didn't work, and now we're on to something else.
And then when they revealed, so I guess now I realize it was the opening cut scene. The explanation that they started with, or the way that they were going to approach it, I was like, oh, duh. Why didn't I think about that? Duh.
Yeah. Let's watch that. Let's watch that cutscene right now. And for anybody who doesn't want to, you know, just you have about 2 minutes where you can turn the audio off and then turn it back on. But we're going to watch and listen to that cutscene right now because it's pretty neat.
Right now.
I was not always Azanadra, your trusted friend. 6,000 years ago, I was Azanadra, Pontifex Maximus of the Zerosian Empire. I maintained civilization and the rule of my lord against all those who called themselves gods. I am very familiar with Saren's influence. We can no longer rely on this council. They are completely under her sway now. In time, they will recover their initiative, but for now, they are nothing but puppets. Disappointing, but not unexpected. Saren is obsessed with the adult elder gods. Her guilt and shame blind her to the true threat. It is not the adults who are destined to destroy us. It is their unborn children. If they wake, they will devour this world, and in time, all worlds. If the best these fools can do is waste their time on senseless appeasement, then it falls to us to save them. We must find the Elder God eggs. We must stop them hatching.
And there you can see that's going to be one of the core aspects of what they're going to try and do in this Elder God Wars storyline. Now, you know, we're going to learn way more about this on Monday when this quest launches. And in particular, I just want to touch on a few things from that cutscene. You know, they talk about the Saren's aura that has brought everybody over to her point of view, probably including us, the World Guardian. And
wait, it can't be us.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It can't be us, right?
Yeah,
you're right. It can't be us. Though, I don't know. I thought I heard a theory somewhere that it could influence us. We'll probably talk more about that next week. But also, they mentioned Saren's guilt. And, you know, this is just a quick reminder on this, that in Children of Ma, Saren was actually the one who Mercy killed Ma.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. Hence why there's that guilt and, you know, why she is obsessed with the Elder Gods and the eggs associated with them. And you know, we knew that this was going to be something that was going to come forward at some point in the future, and it's nice to see it all lining up. A couple of other tidbits on this one. According to ModJack, the team went all in on lore with this quest with 25,000 words of dialogue, which is half a novel.
I am totally, like, I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. Then at the same time, I'm like, oh, that's gonna have to read all of that. And I'm like, oh, but I have a way of doing that now, so okay. But, like, yeah. I love that there's so much story, but, I mean, like they said,
right?
That,
and that see, might take this a minute. This is something we're going to have to really think about when we do the quest, because do you want to be reading 25,000 words of dialogue, or do you want to be interacting with the quest? I think there's going to be a very fine line to be walked to ensure that interactivity of the quest is maintained, and it doesn't just become a reading exercise in the little chat box.
So I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about a way that that could be done that would be kind of it would be very different. But do you remember, like, I think on Anachronia and then in Archaeology, some the like drawn cutscenes that they have done?
Yeah, the art cutscenes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I mean,
that's what this one was that we just listened to.
Okay. So, you remember back in the day before it was like the World Wide Web kind of thing, and there was this like, well, actually, I don't know what it was in Canada, but we had Prodigy, and there were games on it, but the game would be like, you would read this dialogue, and there'd be really cool art behind it, and it would be like you were in a maze, and you would go forward, and then something would happen, and you would read about that happening, and then you would have to make a choice.
You're talking about a text-based adventure game.
Okay.
I think that's what it sounds like.
What if you could do that when you're dealing with this much story? Like, because I feel like
it would all have to come out at some point, because they said there's not going to be really much choice in terms of the various outcomes in this one compared to what they did in the Sliske arc.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but I mean, the degrees of choice, you know, I mean, you can kind of lead people where they need to go.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think, because I want all that story in here, right? But
but it's quite difficult to read.
Yes.
That much inside of a chat box, and you know that's perhaps a one concern going in, but I don't think it's worth, you know, discussing too much now until we get our hands on it. Maud Osborne said this is the starting pistol for the Elder God Wars, which makes sense, and to give people a hint of some of the things that you're going to have to do with this, there was this change made a few weeks back to the archaeology skill, in particular the Vault of Shadows mini quest, as that is going to be a requirement for this quest, which requires 58 archaeology if you don't already have 107 to complete it on, you know, your own accord as you would in the skill. Ariane will also be back for this quest along with Sir Owen, because there's also, of course, always been talk about what the signature hero's up to.
Let's hear what the story guy has to say about that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, I think. I don't know. Requirements for the quest in total are 58 archaeology, 58 prayer, 58 agility, 58 divination, and 70 divination, and the Vault of Shadows mini quest. So 3 58s, 170, and the Vault of Shadows mini quest. Desperate Measures is not required but recommended for completion. And the previous efforts with Karapak were unsuccessful. And this is just another attempt at trying to solve the problem. They call it a clean break within the storyline. I wonder what...
Going to war, homie. Can you see this playing out? Like, who would be able to make the hard decision, Shane? Which one of the gods would be willing to make that kind of decision? And then, which one of the gods would protect their parents because of their guilt And how could that become?
You're describing Zaros and Saren.
Just a theory.
Yeah. And, I mean, it could just be about their factions, in effect, fighting to prevent the various different eggs from hatching. Because, you know, we already have representation of Zaros and Saren inside God of War's Dungeon 2. So I don't think it would just be, you know, straight up them. It could be them with a twist. I think that's a fun way of looking at it.
They've never went against each other.
No.
Brother against sister. The sister wants to save the elder gods. The brother understands this sacrifice needs to be made. Because I can see it, man. I don't know. I can see it.
I want to know what Ariane's going to be up to in this quest.
Oh, dude, Ariane, that made me think. I was like, man, I wish Chronicle was still around. Even if I just played the old CPU, it was fun.
Yeah.
Good old Ariane.
Yeah. Also, involvement, of course, Sir Owen.
What? WTF?
What do you mean WTF? Why?
Sir Owen.
I don't know. He's going to be representing the Saradomin side, obviously. Because that they said a faction that is related to Saradomin will be involved, which of course is the Temple Knights who Sir Owen is involved with.
I just think it's hilarious where they're like, okay, so we really need this character and we would like to use him, but we kind of left him at this spot. So how about we'll just skip that because it's the journey, right? It's not
yeah.
the destination. And maybe we'll get around to it.
Yeah, and you know, they said that this quest doesn't require you to know what would happen in a hypothetical Death of Chivalry 2, but it would take place after the events of Death of Chivalry 2, and they made the decision to just move on with the character rather than leaving Sir Owen where he was.
Yeah, so it's one of these things where, like, if you watch an Avengers movie out of order kind of thing, like, you know the result, but you'll still watch a movie because you don't know how it happened kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always enjoyed Death of Chivalry for the quest.
I enjoyed that quest. That was the first scalable quest boss, too, wasn't it?
I think so. And it was also the first Saradomin quest in 2013 as well. And it kind of also touched into the Temple Knights series as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots of questions to be asked there. And, of course, the Temple Knights have also made their presence known before in their various recruitment quests. And I think they were also involved in Devious Minds, if I remember correctly as well. So, you know, we're really going back and, you know, leaning back into these people and these quests that haven't been looked at in a long, long time on that. And that's really good. They also said that in terms of stories that you should look at for this, if you're looking to catch up, Raven says literally all of them.
I know. I was like, wow. But I'm thinking maybe that's not just this quest, maybe that is this whole thing.
Yeah.
This whole war.
Yeah, because, you know, if for that to be the case, this would have to be a Grandmaster quest if it was literally everything.
Well, yeah.
And it's not.
No. But we will see. I bet you we see people and factions of people that we have dealt with our whole career as a adventurer, and then a world guardian will pop up through this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mod Jack said the Sliske's endgame quest that involves certain volcanic creatures, the Tazar, and quests that look up at what Saradomin is up to, or what organizations who work for Saradomin are up to, hence the Temple Knights quests.
Ah.
Which is something that people in Clan Quest have wanted for a long time, a continuation to the Temple Knights series.
Maybe that'll be this mysterious maybe Death of Chivalry if we whine.
Maybe. Enough. Maybe. And you know, I think with Azanadra, you know, you're also going to have to lean into other quests as well. Like Temple at Sentistan is definitely going to be in there probably too, since that is, of course, where the Archaeology Guild is located. And that's where Zaros first appeared and raised the monolith, amongst other things. And I mentioned Devious Minds as well.
Ritual
of the Majorat. Yeah, that's another one. One that was mentioned was Heart of Stone, which was the Elder Gods quest before we were on the Elder Gods Bent. And they put this one out there as a small little quest released in 2014.
This is the Golem, right?
No.
No?
No, this one isn't the Golem one.
Okay.
You know, I don't remember what the exact rundown of it was. The description is that a friend of Ariane's has been killed and some of her research stolen. Chase down the culprit using a state-of-the-art tracking golem. Oh, it was. I thought you were actually talking about the other, like the desert golem thing. Okay, got it.
Interesting, because I think we went to because we interacted with the Elder God chamber, like mm-hmm. where one of the eggs was.
Yeah. And the reason I mentioned Heart of Stone is because they said the blank observation, which came out with this quest, is also going to be used in Azanadra's quest.
Because we'll have to hunt down the where they're at again.
Yeah.
I bet we'll have to use the measure too.
I don't know about that. I don't know how I feel about that one. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't know.
There's got to be something to do with the measure, right? It can't. Got to.
Yeah. And the blank observation, you get it by talking to Azanadra about his mission after completion of the Heart of Stone, the Temple at Satistan, and Fate of the Gods. And you're not going to need the requirement, any of these, to do Azanadra's quest. So if you have the blank observation, it will definitely help you. And as it stands right now, you know, this item does nothing, but it will do something when this quest arrives. And it's interesting also to note that this item has the same appearance and looks exactly the same as Eye of Jazz, which was received during Desperate Measures.
That is sus.
Is that what we're saying now?
I think it is.
Wonderful. Let's see. We talked about Sir Owen and Death of Chivalry 2 already. Question that was asked in the live stream, what's the difference between Elder Gods and Gods? And, you know, this is something I think that everybody who is involved in Clan Quest and Quest knows, but Elder Gods are primordial creators, and the gods are generally mortal beings that have ascended from something the Elder Gods have left behind or touched or something of similar power. So the Elder Gods are the true gods.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I would say that the Elder Gods are like quote-unquote real gods, but then again, we are trying to figure out a way to kill them. So,
Right.
There's that.
Will previous
details?
Will previous quest choices affect the outcomes in this quest? And this was the interesting part. Stylistically, Jagex has moved away from this, and the dev time to play reward equation didn't work out. There are less quests because of this, and for the most part, they've been reverting back to single versions of the storyline. And you won't find cases where characters were more or less powerful or where NPCs were alive or dead. And in cases where an NPC could be dead, they'll try and resurrect them. And the example is that if Hazil is dead, he can't be in a quest. And, you know, the effective hand-waving on this to get past this will be that rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated, or there will be an explanation of why they're back.
It's just like Star Wars. If you don't see a body,
yeah,
gotta see that body.
You know, I think the benefit towards doing this at the Sliske arc made sense back in the day, but it's effectively, you know, just, you know, killing off characters that were already introduced, and then you have to reintroduce new characters in order to use them in a quest going forward. So you really have to ask, what's the benefit of killing that character off?
Well, I'm surprised you're asking that, but yeah.
I'm just speaking.
Question I would ask.
I'm just speaking, you know, metaphorically with that, because there have been characters that have been killed off in game, but players have been wondering why that was the case. And when it comes down to this, I mean, somebody is going to be doing this quest today when it comes out, or, you know, next week at the time of recording this. But someone 2 or 5 years down the line is also going to be doing this quest. And if one of the characters bites the bullet at the end and he's not around anymore, what good does that serve? I think looking at it from a strict lore perspective.
Well, yeah, quit killing off your, like, main characters.
And
I mean, I was so happy to hear that Arian was coming back, Sir Owen. Like, I always thought that there was so much just unused potential with some of those, what were they called? Signature heroes?
Yeah, and you know, we know very little about the majority of them.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Ozan the most, and I mean, we saw him a little bit with Menifos, but and everyone actually, that the quest to get into Menifos was highly acclaimed. People just didn't want to stay as they got in. But they loved the quest. But that's the last time we saw Ozan.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I think this is a good decision that was made. And, you know, I've always, in the Sliske arc, and in particular in Sliske's endgame, I think one of the things that we struggled with most was, okay, you made all these different decisions along the way. How much did the story diverge? Then we all get together on that cold December day, a few days before Christmas, to discuss endgame, and we all end up in the same spot. We don't win the race to get the stone. And it's just a different person who's there based on choices you made. And in reality, you know, it didn't really seem that fulfilling when we got to the end of it. So I'm glad they made this decision.
Yeah, I support it.
Yeah.
Think it's the right thing.
All right. Next up, they asked for a hint on some of the rewards from this quest. And the answer to that was that you'll receive the ability to craft an item, which can potentially improve across the Elder God series.
So maybe we begin with a, gosh, I don't know, something like a grimoire or a weapon.
Maybe,
or
something
like that. That will, like, we will either be adding to or changing.
Yeah, and, you know, I like that rather than just handing it out. Another good example is the Cosmic Focus from Desperate Measures for Archaeology. That's a fun one, too. So that was good.
Yeah, and I mean, I just don't expect a lot out of quest rewards anymore.
No.
I mean,
and I mean, that's why I think if you can have something that you make, it's just going to wind up better at the end of the day. Because I use Cosmic Focus whenever I do archaeology, and if this thing's going to be useful through the Elder God series, then that's a huge benefit.
Yeah.
The questions about why Zaros is so interested in archaeology and the monolith are intimately connected to this storyline, which makes sense because you'll recall that the promo for this quest ended with "War is coming," and that's the exact same thing they said at the end of the archaeology trailer. Dig deep, war is coming. So there we have it.
Oh, yeah.
And Zaros was also in one of the early concept arts of archaeology involving the monolith, where the woman was on the front near it.
What if Azanadra knows that there's something that carried it?
Oh, I bet he does, because that's the whole thing that was implied with that dig site is that, yeah, you complete Vault of Shadows and you unlock the memory of Trindine, but there's also implied to be much more happening inside those gates because you go in there and it's this huge expansive area and we've only really scratched the surface of it.
See, yeah, I'm wondering if that will play a part, you know. See, this is why we needed them to be free enough to give us just to see what happens, to give us the story that I think we have coming here.
Yeah, agree. Why release a quest during Double XP Week? The answer to this is that, you know, if they release something that's skilling or bossing related, people feel pressured to play those differently, and a quest is a one-and-done experience, then Double XP can be paused these days, and they really don't feel right leaving a two-week gap in the release cycle. This week and next week it would have been. Because this week was practically empty, and they didn't want to do the same next week.
This was a surprising, surprisingly good answer, I thought. And we have an example of what happens if it's not a quest, right? That you get Herb Lord farming dumped in the middle of your double XP, and you can't.
Yeah, let's hope that never happens.
Enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, because you've invested money and your time. Your double XP is planned out, you know, because we are OCD as RuneScape players. And I think they're right about a quest because, I mean, what? A quest may be an hour, a couple hours, right? Would that pause? You could do that in an afternoon and then pick up your gains, you know, at another time. I was like, wow, good. You've learned. You've learned your lesson. Yay.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Will this be a prerequisite for other Elder God Wars storyline items? And the answer to this was that further quests will be locked behind this quest, but other types of content will not. Skilling, PVM, etc. will not.
Okay.
And, you know, just talking about the quest in general, apparently there was a reference to an Eminem lyric that was removed in the quest.
Aww. Come on, man.
And they didn't say what the lyric was. I'm not a fan of Eminem, so I don't know what would make sense for this, but
you're not a fan of Eminem, Shane?
No.
Well, I can't imagine that. That just doesn't track.
Oh,
I see Shane getting down to some like smooth jazz or something.
Probably not that either.
Something real laid back.
Portions of the quest are voice acted. I'm assuming they're referring to the cutscenes there.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess given the length, given the amount of dialogue, you know, I understand. And especially because I really like that cutscene, so I hope we get
more of
those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the final one, are Azanadra and Zaros working together? And, you know, the answer to that one is a fairly obvious yes, I think. Mm-hmm. And that was the live stream. Nice condensed 40-minute live stream, answered lots of questions, and I think got us all really theorizing about what it's going to be. So, of course, hopefully you'll join us for next week's RSVNB update, Quest Week episode. It's always going to be a fun one with that. Oh, I just love those Quest Weeks.
Yeah, I think this is – I think they actually – I mean, we'll see how it turns out next week, but my feeling right now is – they've kind of hit the nail on the head when it comes to what to announce and when. I think this is just the right amount of time to build up hype without letting people have too much time to build up unrealistic hype, where people really start going crazy with theory and this and that. I think this will be just enough to like get people excited about it. I mean, it's got me excited about it, and I hate reading quests. Like, that is not something I enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I am totally excited. Like, I'm ready for this.
Me too. Me too. And, you know, we are also doing the roundtable this weekend on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and that's 9 p.m. game time. And as it is double XP weekend, that's open to everybody. And I imagine we'll be having some theorizing about what's going to be happening in this quest at that roundtable. So if that's something you want to have a chat with as you're getting those double XP gains, join us in Discord at rspmb.com/Discord on Saturday.
Yeah, it is something we have a tendency of doing, huh? If we're not creating, you know, entire content design stuff.
Yeah. All right. Just a couple little notes here as we move on this week. The Zodiac and Yak to the Shadows reward items are now available in the Oddment store. So if you didn't complete those Yak tracks and you want to be able to complete some of them or pick them up, you can do so. The Morrissey pet and the Cosmic Billy pet are 15,000 oddments each, along with the Sheraton mercenary outfit. The Discory Battle Mage and Moloch the Great pet are 10,000 oddments each. And then everything else goes down, 8,000, 7,500, 5,000, 3,500 oddments, and they're on down. And, you know, if you want that monolith teleport, that teleport that makes it like you're being sucked into the monolith, that is 3,500 oddments. And that was a Yak Track Task 50 reward. So I'm really happy with this because it just shows out there that, you know, there's that decision that if you don't want to engage in Yak Track, you can purchase any of the cosmetics that you don't get after the fact. So
yeah, I was pleased about it. And this was actually one Yak Track that I didn't get a lot of the stuff.
Right.
So I'm like, hey, this is my chance.
Yeah.
I got those 15K oddments from them rare tokens, you know, let's
put some towards that. I think I'm up to like 50,000 or 60,000 oddments now. I don't really spend them that much.
Damn, dude, but it's double XP.
I know.
Oh, that's some pulse core action there.
Ugh. For Slayer, right?
And more, some bonus.
More on that later.
It's good stuff, Shane.
Before we get on into the actual patch notes, there's some other little things that we want to talk about in terms of adjustments here and there that were mentioned that weren't in the patch notes this week. There was a hot fix on Tuesday, or rather Wednesday, that saw lifeboats no longer be consumed after a player-owned port's journey, and they say it is now safe to set sail on lifeboat-equipped voyages once more, so it was eating lifeboats. And in addition, the team has found a way to return your missing lifeboats, but they don't have a release date for when this will be deployed. But they will keep the player base updated. And
oh, that's good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it will also not be possible to restore lost crew members from voyages impacted by this bug. And they'll be working
on providing... I'm surprised they're getting the lifeboats back.
Like, yeah.
That's yeah. like above and beyond what I would, you know, hope and expect.
And they say that they're going to provide a make good offer to anybody impacted in the near future on this.
Yeah, that's good too, because that's like that is the best reward, like at ports, for the ships. You know, sending them out like the little enhancements. Yeah. I think the lifeboats are like the best.
You definitely want those lifeboats.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that came up was, of course, when is the chat bug going to be fixed that shows the colors in chat? And I find that really disorienting. And Mod Sukoto, I assume that's how you pronounce that, provided some information on the official Discord. And he said that he jinxed it by including that, assuming there aren't any issues tomorrow, it was supposed to come out this week in terms of a patch, and something ultimately went wrong with the process that the people involved in releasing to live do, and the content, in effect, has been built with the same version of the script compilers the previous week, which means that none of the bug fix code that was put in made its way into release this week. and the people that handle the release to live process have said that they're looking into what went wrong and how it got missed, and it will hopefully get sorted out soon, just not before the game update went out this week. And, you know, I appreciate the transparency on this one, and I'm glad this was posted on the official Discord. And effectively what it comes down to, a bit of technobabble coming in forward here, the content in its script form is run through a compiler process that turns it into a bytecode representation. And if you don't know what any of this is, don't worry about it. I'm just providing this to people who might know. And Tsukuto was working on the bit of the script compiler that processes all text strings, but in one of the edge cases, it would end up outputting the bytecode that constructs the various parts of the string in the wrong order. And the way this, what this means is that you effectively get the mixed up colors for your chat. And the hotfix mechanism that they were going to use to fix this is effectively a patch mechanism where instead of invoking bytecodes from file X for a particular method, it invokes those in the patch code instead. Hence how they could do hotfixes to various little aspects of the game without completely reloading all the worlds. So what needs to happen going forward is that they need to identify the exact files that were affected. And he says, when I got that 708 number, I just recompiled everything, which takes hours as it processes all the graphics, shaders, and everything as well, and then create patches for each one. No one has ever patched anywhere near that many scripts before. It would probably work, but for something like this, it's just best not to push our luck.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And, you know, people assume that, you know, you have something simple like a chat where it's just, you know, hey, let's put some color here, and as you would, you know, color an HTML string. But when you're dealing with things that involve script compilers and you're writing in an intermediate scripting language, their language is well known as RuneScript, you can have these kind of little things crop up that impact areas that they don't expect to have an impact. So that's how you can get these weird little things relating to the engine from time to time. But that's just a bit of an update on the chat issue I thought I'd provide.
And people have a tendency of thinking that everything is an easy fix, right? I mean, when my wife worked at a call center like way, way, way back in the day for the power company, people would call in and be like, well, I'll pay the bill. Can't you cut it back on? Like there was a room full of switches, you know, in the back where she could just go flip, cut it back on. You know, we always want to think there's just an easy, can't you just flip a switch and fix that chat caller there? I mean, it's just a caller, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's move on to the actual patch notes for this week then. Further polish on last week's Ninja Strike, updated the tooltip for medium and hard desert task achievements to reflect the changes made to the Scepter of the Gods. Fixed an issue which stopped players from completing the you know you want it medium Fremenic task achievement. Fixed an issue that was blocking progression during a Fairy Tale Part 2. Corrected two typos during the Tortal Combat mini quest. That was a fun one, looking back. And, you know, that felt like a quest. And we have a hot fix here. Items used to recharge the Scepter of the Gods now have double recharge value if the player has completed the hard desert area tasks. Some graphical issues have been fixed around dark green edges of the Taverly Lake. After opening the rocky outcrop, the cave model will be displayed without duplicating the door. Target info is now displayed correctly when using training dummies, which I bet a lot of people will be doing this weekend.
Well, you know it.
Animations will now play while using the summoning obelisk on a horizontal facing plot at the Clan Citadel, and it's no longer possible to see through the stones of the Nature Altar. That's an interesting one. Then we have a new section here, Unexpected Behavior. Items will no longer float in the air when dropped in the Metaphos Port District. And the fireplace during A Tale of Two Cats will now behave correctly.
It really should just be, oops, we broke it.
Right. In the other category, great Gielinar run attempts will no longer fail when going through leaf traps in Tyrannan or the underground passage between Catherby and Taverly. Your backpack will no longer be brought to the front during the mining and smithing sequence on Tutorial Island. Players can now use the catalytic, or can now craft the catalytic wand by using the spine beam wand on the Daemonheim runecrafting altar. And Martin, the master gardener, now has a dialogue option to convert the new farming skill cape into the old version.
You wear the old version, Shane?
I wear the 120 version.
Well, of course. I mean,
but if I was going to wear one, I'd wear the new one.
Really?
I don't like the shoulder pads on the old skill capes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surprising me.
If I had an untrimmed version of the old one, that might be a different topic of discussion.
I see.
Case in point, I got another 99 before keepsake keys were a thing. And I lost the trimmed version. Unfortunately. Vindicta and Gorvik will now face the player when below 100,000 HP. Casting NPC contact via spellbook swap will now immediately return to the previous spellbook. Rune metrics will now properly track for Ferocco kills. And equipping the Scarlet Thief's mask override no longer changes your hairstyle. And there's the patch notes of the week. Did you do the quest from last week, Heartstealer?
I have not.
You should do it. You should do it.
Okay.
That was a fun little episode that Siron and I had last week.
Yeah, I was sorry I missed that.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen. We have a couple of questions this week that we'll talk about. Before we do that, I'll just thank our Patreon supporters for this episode, because without you guys, what we do here would not be possible. So this week, I'd like to thank Andrew C., Brock H., Cameron, Christian S., Cook Me Plox, Diana, Duramax, Gabrielle, Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Joe M., John P., Keski, Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Nora, Pernasius, Rastafa, Ricky A., Soupfinder, Stubbeve, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V., and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly means the world to us, and, you know, we wouldn't get to do all the fun little things we do around here if it wasn't for you guys. And of course, one of those is the monthly round table that we're going to be doing this coming Saturday. As it's double XP, we open this up to everybody just to let everybody have a peek at what happens at these kind of things and what Patreon members get each and every month. And, you know, in addition to the round table, they also, of course, get the monthly bit, which is a special bonus show that is chosen by the Patreon supporters. That poll will be going up soon for the next one. As well as for as little as a dollar a month, you get access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, and you also get a mention in our show notes for helping to fund the costs of hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord, and I mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month, plus high-quality stereo versions of the podcast. And at $5 a month, should you want to do that, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and gain access to the exclusive outtakes that we use to form the clip show at the end of the year. And, you know, if you want to learn more about this, just visit patreon.com/RSBNB. And, you know, I also need to point out that should we ever reach $500 a month, we will take the Hot Ones challenge, you and myself and maybe a few others, where we subject ourselves from, you know, what could be talked about as a mild spice all the way to the spiciest of chicken wings as we progress through it.
Hot. The bomb.
Yeah.
The last dab. Gonna have to take a last dab, Shane.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because we don't wuss out here.
Because we're going to be dead after that, right? Our voices will be dead.
Actually, I got some advice from one of your countrymen today about how to, if it looks like we're getting close to that mark, how to make sure I can survive it by microdosing myself on spice.
Okay.
A few weeks beforehand.
Oh, okay. So get yourself ready to go beforehand.
So that you don't have a, you know, swelling or something. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Anyways, if you want to learn more about this, just visit patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Question from Sunset Fish. If Jagex were to change into a paid expansion pack update model, excluding special events such as double XPs and Yak Tracks, would you still be buying in and playing RuneScape? Say, $20 for a new city in Keelanor bundled with 10 quests?
Sign me up. A new city and 10 quests? $20? Yeah. Definitely. Give me two. Hell, I'll buy two of them.
I pause with this because it's something that I feel is not conducive to what RuneScape is.
Well, we've learned that, right?
Yeah.
Like, the hard way.
Yeah. Because presumably with this, you know, you buy the expansion and you get access to it. But what about everybody else? Do they not get the city and the new quest? Do you have to pay to complete?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah. Or maybe they'd get it, you know, a certain amount of time down the road. But then at that point, it's still an expansion and people can just wait. So there's no real reason to purchase if that was the case. So I think this is what what's that game called that you play?
ESO.
ESO does, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. ESO, when I tried it, felt like a contained version of an MMO. I didn't get to the point where expansions were a problem that I would be limited by it. But I just feel that this isn't the RuneScape way. I think I'd probably wouldn't go down that path, and I just, you know, stick with the plain vanilla version of the game, because I mean, you'd have to ask how often would you be doing this. I think at this kind of rate, you'd probably be doing it, you know, once every 18 months perhaps, and it would have to be more than $20.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, if you're going, yeah. But this is just so ironic that Shane is thinking about others and I am completely thinking of myself. I would have figured that was the other way around, but because yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about, I mean, like, you know, well, I'm not going to chew through content like that. Like, I know how to pace myself. Right. I could enjoy this, you know, but you're right when it comes to the culture of RuneScape. And I mean, we've seen it play out.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. And, you know, content creators are also going to say, you know, we're going to have these quests. We're going to have to do two quests every week for 5 weeks. In addition to everything else you're doing in game. And, you know, new city and a new quest, hypothetically, it's a big thing that we need to underscore. This is all hypothetical. What if it would be a skill next time? What if archaeology had been behind one of these expansions? And just look at the number of people that archaeology brought in. What if you could do the same with the new city or landmass, which they did with Anachronia, filter the content in over time and use that as a way to bring new players on board?
Well, I mean, that would be ideal. I think that's what they're – I mean, I hope that's what we're going to get with this. This, you know, Elder God Wars to me, well, here's the other thing you gotta understand about expansions. So Shane, like, it should have components for everyone contained within You know what I mean? Like,
right. So there should be the PVM bit. There should be the quest bit. There should be the skilling bit.
Yeah, because you're making something that is supposed to last for the next 6 months or year. And the way, like, in the way Elder Scrolls will do it, say the expansion is this new area with new story and new da-da-da. But there is also, like, DLCs that fit within that larger umbrella that you could purchase about once a quarter, I think, one of those will come out. Which will go into, you know, further detail or will further flush something out that is already contained in the overarching expansion.
Yeah, and with that, you have to realize that you couldn't have the, you know, the monthly headliner system that we do now. Yeah. You'd have to abandon that. You'd have to go to, you know, the quarterly type of update model, or, you know, even, you know, the 6 month type of update model. And you'd be waiting in between. You wouldn't be able to have it both ways.
No. And, I mean, that's not where we're at. I'm not sure that's where we'll ever be. But like I said, in a very selfish way, I'd be totally cool with that. Because I probably wouldn't be able to chew through the content before the next one came out. And that's, you know, that's the reason. The games that, like, do well with that kind of thing, they have something for you to do in the meantime. They have a strong end game that you're going to be playing and doing that doesn't necessarily require all of these other components of the game.
Yeah.
So that when those release, you're like, oh, fun, you know. And then when you finally eventually get done with it, you always have that end game content to go back to.
Or you can flip it on its head, as RuneScape has been doing for 20 years, and do it its own way, you know, being, you know, the biggest free-to-play game out there, and having weekly updates. You can flip the expansion model on its head and say, okay, we're going to do an expansion, but it's going to be done with week-to-week updates. You're going to get, you know, some new quests. You're going to get some new combat type things, you're going to get some new skill training methods, and oh, it's all going to be tied together with, you know, one key storyline, and there might be a few new areas too. Gee, what does that sound like?
Anachrony?
Anachrony is one of them. Another one is, of course, the Elder God Wars.
Yep.
So I think we're already...
Anachrony was the prototype for this, I think.
Except they kind of got thrown off by some team things.
Details, COVID. But, I mean, it could have been.
It could have
been. And it was a proof of concept.
Right.
I mean, you know. It just kind of got stuck in the mud. but it proved it would work.
Right. And I think that's because that was proven to work. And that you look at other games out there and they do these releases where everything is all tied together under one general umbrella. You might as well call it an expansion. That's what we're getting with the Elder God Wars.
Yes.
I think it works well. Like,
we're getting it in a very RuneScape way.
Right, you know, and that's like what I said.
We talked about earlier.
RuneScape always turns things on its head.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just... RuneScape does it its own way, don't it? It's kind of like that old Ben Franklin quote, you know, it's like America, or was it Franklin? No, it was Churchill. It said America does the right thing after they've tried everything else.
Right.
It's kind of like Jackass, right? They always do the right thing after they try everything else. But that's kind of where we are. We tried the normal expansion, even though I'd pay for it, wasn't the right fit. So here we are doing that, but in, like you said, this week-to-week update kind of structure that protects other players.
Right,
from
and they said in terms of protecting themselves. Other players, there's going to be other types of content as well. There's a piece of content coming in March that they haven't talked about yet that's not related to the Elder God Wars.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting... I just wasn't really expecting a huge year coming off of archaeology. Like, I expected it to be good, don't get me wrong, but I didn't expect a big, big year. And it's shaping up to maybe be a big year. I'm like, wow, where'd this come from?
Well, that's what I said on the bit. You know, RuneScape Golden Age, I think we're there. I'm just going to have to wait a while for everybody to see it. And the fact we're talking about expansions by a different name and, you know, expansion models have been used elsewhere. And it's something people have always wanted for RS, and now they're getting it. I just don't think they know they're getting it yet. So thank you, Sunset Fish, for allowing us to expand on that one.
I see what you did there.
Nice. Oh, that was totally unintended. I didn't even realize that. Next one from Sirion. What Lego set would you buy instantly if it existed? Since questions about other things are okay as well.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like in RuneScape? Like the, what kind of RuneScape set?
No, in real life.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah.
Anything? Anything in the whole... Well, Lego already has a lot of my favorite things with its Star Wars lineup. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm going to need your help, Shane.
All right.
Which one is it? The Enterprise D or E? Which one is the... They're both badass, but this one's like the most badass.
Enterprise E is First Contact. Enterprise D is Next Generation.
First Contact. That was
good. Yeah, the Enterprise E. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, what? Yeah, what if that was a Lego?
Yeah, you
know, imagine that. Like, it was a big, like, you know how the Star Destroyers are, but like, do that in an Enterprise version.
I was actually thinking of Pike's Constitution class since Strange New Worlds started filming today in Toronto.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
That happened.
Nice.
But that's where my mind went initially. So I think those are, I like that your mind went there as well.
Well, I love like the Star Wars space stuff. Now, like we were talking in, you know, pre-show that like, I can't really follow those directions quite as much. So I'm much more of a free creative Lego person, but I think that would look really cool. I think the other thing like that would be really cool, like on a RuneScape level. I would love to see Varrock in Legos.
Oh, well, somebody, you know, somebody could create that because it's all blocky, right? And you have a big enough table, you could do that.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. That would be really cool.
Oh, I know another one. The Tower of Voices from Pref. Because you remember when we were doing the video show, right? And if we continued those, I was going to make it my mission to find a 3D print somehow of the Tower of Voices or somebody who made one.
Yeah, I would.
To have
that
on
would
set.
That'd be really
good. But
pretty.
I mean, Lego is another good option, right?
Yeah.
And you could do the crystals.
Legos is 3D printing before we had it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you could do the crystals type stuff with the transparent blocks, right?
Yeah, and I think you can even get them, you know, all angled and stuff so you can make it, you know, those smooth angles that you see.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be my RuneScape one, Tower of Voices.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, there's two quick options right there, RuneScape and non-RuneScape. I feel like one of us should offer a non-Star Trek related one as well. You can do that.
Okay. Oh, gosh, I wonder if it already exists. I was going to say, like, a Mount Rushmore, I think, would be Legos. And no, Shane, you can't change the faces or add any.
How did you know I was doing that? Somebody made a Lego Mount Rushmore out of 22,000 bricks. How did you know I wanted to add two more to Mount Rushmore?
I had a feeling.
astute listeners would probably know which two presidents I'd add to the list, but we'll leave that as an exercise for them. Oh, God. You're getting pretty good at predicting that.
Yeah, well, you know, we've worked together for a while now.
Oh, boy. All righty. Thank you so much, Sirion. If you guys want to send questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave them on Twitter @rsbnb, or just pop them in the forum at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right, pick of the week time. What do you got?
All right, so I've got a game, but I haven't played a game like this in literally like over a decade, right? I'm coming with Madden 21. I'm not usually a big Madden person. I'm not a big EA person. I'm not a big football game person. I used to play them, like, you know, way back in the day. I played a lot of, like, the NCAA stuff because I like the college teams. But this Madden 21 is a really good game. Like, on top of being a good football game, it's a really good game. And once again, EA is paying attention to accessibility, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe that I have to give EA credit, but I do, because they're doing a really good job in the world of accessibility right now. The menus have voiceover. There's a whole section of accessibility options with everything, you know, that we're used to, subtitles to difficulty settings, you know, being able to change the game style from, you know, more simulation to an arcade.
Yep.
It gives you a little bit more forgiveness there, and people forget about that being an accessibility thing, and they think it's like a skill thing, but sometimes it's an accessibility thing that lets us access parts of the game that we otherwise couldn't. And then, like, and if all that isn't enough, it's actually, like, really, it's got a decent story. Like, there are all these RPG elements that you don't expect in a football game, but there are. You can there is a story that kind of shows the highlights of your career, you know, through high school all the way to making it to the NFL, you know, and you're playing all these different moments and progressing the story along that way. You can, you know, of course, have your franchise and run that. You can do fantasy franchises now and play them against your friends and stuff. So you could do a whole fantasy league inside Madden, you know, playing it. Lots of challenges, daily challenges have made their way to the sports arenas.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, like, it's actually, you know, a good game. Aside from just being a football game, it's actually a good game. And it's on sale. It's actually like a Superstar edition is actually cheaper than the base version right now.
Yeah, it's so, currently 63% off.
Yeah, it's a good price. I was surprised. Let's just say I was feeling pretty good last Friday, and decided to take a chance on it. And, you know, I messaged my buddy the next day. I was like, I'm glad I picked that up last night. I was like, this is a really good game. So there you have it. That's my pick of the week, Madden 21.
And there's also the benefit now that EA games are available on Steam, so you don't need to.
Yeah, that's where I bought it. Yeah, yeah. I should have said that.
Yeah, everybody's happy about that. All right, my pick of the week is in the tech news domain again this week, and you know it's about Facebook, because Facebook has blocked Australian users from viewing or sharing news, and this is because the government in Australia, has put forward a law that would effectively make big companies like Facebook and Google pay for news content on their platform. So as a result, Facebook shut down the news pages and made all news posts not visible of all local and global news sites in Australia. And they say it was an error, but also several government and health emergency pages were also blocked by Facebook, which they later corrected. And the whole story behind this is that the Australian government sees Facebook as having too much control over the digital advertising landscape, so much as such that they want to have Facebook pay the news companies out there for accessing their news, because they see Facebook and Google and the like as advertising monopolies. And, you know, they definitely are advertising monopolies. And, you know, as with most stories, there's two sides to the coin. The first side to the coin, of course, is that Facebook, Google, and Twitter, all to a degree, are monopolies in their own domain. And as a result, command a wide control over how people see the internet. Because, you know, in this day and age, most people see the internet as Google. You search something in Google and it comes up, and that's how you get to the website after a couple clicks. As for news and whatnot, most people in the older age groups, at least, view it on Facebook. And the issue is that news companies don't like that because they're taking away from their advertising revenue when they go to their websites. But on the other side, you know, this is something, this has been a conversation that's been happening years ago when Dig and Reddit first emerged in 2004. Dig was first, had a much better website, and, you know, was the first, despite what people might tell you, and in general had a better user experience than Reddit. Dig needs to come back. Reddit needs to die, but that's story for another day. People in those days were similarly feeling that, you know, hey, these websites are how people are consuming news and stories and whatnot. Perhaps they should be paying the actual websites where the links are going to for that. And, you know, this is a conversation that's been happening for years, and it's just rather rich seeing it at this point in time, because the legacy media companies are effectively just experiencing what it was like all those years ago for the small websites to have their content aggregated and whatnot by Dig and Reddit and the like, and have that be where the search results go, so to speak. So it's just kind of funny seeing the shoe being on the other foot in that one. But on the other side of the coin, this just really shows how, you know, people always say that, you know, these are private companies, Facebook and the like, should be able to do what they want. Well, here you have it. People aren't able to view news without going to the actual news website now in Australia. And I personally don't know what the answer is to this one, because the demands of the news companies to be paid by Facebook are pretty silly. And the demands on the other side that Facebook be shutting down publishing pages for these news sites is also equally silly as well. So there's some middle ground that hasn't been found yet in this case. And honestly, I think it comes down to a realization that, looking at what has happened with this, social media companies, Facebook and the like, are actually choosing what appears on their platform, which, when you look at it in this way, makes them de facto publishers, which has a whole other set of ramifications elsewhere. And it's just rather amusing that we see this playing out here. And it's unfortunate that everyday internet users are paying the price.
Yeah. It's Facebook, so, I mean, go figure. I think the problem more so is they're talking about, oh, the poor news agencies, the whole multi-million dollar.
That's why it's funny seeing the shoe on the other foot.
Yeah. Mean, that doesn't really solicit much sympathy.
No.
But what probably is really going on is they don't want to turn out like us. And you know what? Good. You don't want to turn out like us. You see what's happened here? You see what Facebook can do if it runs amok? It literally runs amok. And you see that they can be cartelled because the minute they were threatened with regulation, they shaped up. And they're like, oh, well, we're gonna take care of, we're not going to do news no more. Well, good, because you shouldn't be in the news business. You're not news.
And, you know, speaking on that, Facebook just silos so many people when it comes to news. It's rather unfortunate. And perhaps this is for the best, even though it's through a rather silly thing that the media companies have asked for.
Yeah, I mean, look, you won't agree with this, but, I mean, what's the solution to Facebook? Nationalize them. We're done. Done here. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to start having that discussion as well when these tech companies start acting like their own de facto governments, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing. And you gotta really start having a really good, honest discussion on what's happening when they start doing things like this. But at the same time, the media companies can't be let off.
No, absolutely not. But Facebook at this point is – they're able to exercise serious influence and control.
Oh, yeah.
In the way that would be considered, you know, soft power in the world of global geopolitics.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So.
Maybe it's for the better that people aren't on Facebook as much.
Yeah. I think so.
And, you know, it's always important to talk about these stories and keep our listeners aware of what's happening in other parts of the world, because I know there are people out there who don't like to read the news because, you know, there's lots of bad news in this day and age. But when it comes to news that is going to potentially impact the way that we get information in the rest of the world after what's happening here in Australia. Because, you know, the same kind of thing could happen in Canada. I don't think it would happen in the U.S., but it could happen here as well. We just, you know, have to keep our eyes open. And that's why I wanted to bring this story to our listeners' attention. There's a very good BBC article that's linked in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com about this. Let's do some achievements.
All right, let's see here. We will get started with Hondiers with 99 attack on the 17th. And then iHerblaw with 120 magic on the 17th. Luke PPP with 99 thieving on the 17th. Uber Plastic with 99 mining on the 17th. iChazy with 120 archaeology on the 16th. Luke PPP with 99 fletching and fire making on the 16th, and Malchair with 99 prayer on the 16th. Sax Peelier with 99 archaeology on February 16th. Snow Light with 99 invention on the 16th. Alex 43 with a pair, 120 Slayer and 120 Farming on the 15th, respectively. Nice job for our own Alex 43. And then I Defend with 120 Invention. What's with the 120s? Wow. And that was on the 15th. And then Zodiac Child with 120 Ranged on February 15th. Look at all the 120s.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we're just warming up for next week, honestly.
We might be.
Next up, Diana got 120 archaeology on February 14th. Congratulations. Garageo with 120 invention on the 14th. Half Damascus with 99 prayer also on the 14th. Harlot Man got 99 constitution, attack, and strength on the 14th. Zerdones got 99 fishing on the 14th. Nathan got 99 woodcutting on the 13th. Remo Reaper got 99 archaeology on the 13th. Zerdones again with 99 runecrafting on the 13th. Then on the 12th, we have iChazzy with 99 invention, Luke PPP with 99 mining, and Xanthangum with 99 fire making. Then we have Zazakon with 99 archaeology also on the 12th, and Half Damascus again with 99 Invention on February 11th. Nicely done, everybody. And I see they just want to give us all a nice warm-up as we head into Double XP Week, don't they?
I think so, yeah. It was a good job. Lots of achievements this week.
Yeah, it really was. But, you know, if you want to help out the podcast, we have a place where you can register your interest. So if you've ever wanted to guest on the podcast, if you ever wanted to write for RSBNB Informer, or maybe you want to help with some graphical work like thumbnails or promotional material or maybe merchandise art at some point, just register your interest. Even if you think you might be helpful in some other way, we do have a field where you can write something else in. You can tell us what you might be useful at or what you want to help out with. We also ask what kind of RuneScape player you are. You can fill that in with a couple of pre-made options, or if you want to put your own in, you can do that there as well. Then we ask for your RuneScape name and just a way to contact you. Discord, Twitter, email, RuneScape name, it all works. So if you want to help out, just visit update.rsbnb.com/help. All right. What have you been up to this week?
I've been prepping. I've been prepping and prepping, and I haven't had a ton of hours because I've been pretty busy at work, but so I've been making porters, and when I was done with that, I've been making more porters, and then when I got done with that, I made a few more porters, all in anticipation of next week, because I can't pass up some of this archaeology quick digging. Gonna have to do it. I wasn't ready financially to make the herb lore push that I need to make. So I'm sticking with. I mean, this is a really good time to do archaeology on the Double XP weekends. It was crazy last time I did it. So
yeah, it really is. It really is.
Yeah. So I made porters. I have like a couple K of them, and it's probably not going to be enough, but it's what I've been working on anyway.
All right. Nice. I finished my Spear of Annihilations. Yes, plural.
Ooh.
And I sold one for 245 mil.
Damn. You keeping one for yourself?
Yes, I will keep one for myself and make it masterwork. After that, still working on archaeology. Like I said, I have lots to do still. Just filling out all the different colored materials to complete a grand total of 24 tetra compasses.
Wow.
Yeah. I got all the purple, blue, and green currently, and yellow. Currently working on I got all the purple, green, and yellow. Currently working on the blue, then I have to get the red. About 700 of each after.
Wow. I didn't even know those were different colors, but
yeah,
that's cool.
You need the four different colors for that.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to add the four pieces.
Or is it five different colors? Purple, red, blue, green, yellow. Yeah, five colors.
Oh.
Green and blue come from God Wars Dungeon 1. Yellow comes from the Empyrean Citadel. Purple comes from, what's its name? It's that place that's underneath the archaeology campus where the Dark Animica is.
Yes. Is that the green? No.
I forget its name.
What's down there?
Yeah.
Verdun? Oh, Vellum? Oh.
There's another one down there. I can't remember what's down there. But the red is underneath the Wizard's Tower. Cadmium red.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on. And, you know, 24 tetra compasses. I'm not betting I'll get anything good, but you never know, right?
You never know.
I'm gonna try and open some of those up on the round table and do them.
Sweet. Cool.
So that should be good fun. But after that, I don't know. I think for Double XP, I'm probably doing Slayer. I don't know how, though.
You don't know how?
Well, I mean, I know you go kill things, but I don't know, you know.
No. You got some gemstones to put in your dungeon?
No, I don't.
Well, you need to do
that
when we're done. You need to get some. You need to put some gemstones in your dungeon.
I'm only 103.
Oh,
I think the highest gemstone's at 107, right?
Oh,
something like that.
I can help you with task, and if I was you, I would bank all of the bonus I could in Slayer.
Really?
Yeah, and I would run pulses, and I would run scrimshaws of sacrifice. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the other option is, of course, to do some dungeoneering as well. But I don't know. I don't know. You can tell these are two skills that I really, really dislike training and never really have enjoyed them too much. So they're the last two that aren't, you know, official max. They all got to 99, but, you know, they got to go to 120 at some point. So
they do. They do. Neither one is a bad call. I mean, I enjoy Slayer, so I would probably do that. But double XP and Dungeoneering are pretty tasty.
Yeah,
and you get a good group and you
right,
can move
quickly. And I got a ton of double or bonus XP banked up in the Dungeoneering skill as well. So that basically be times three.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a good group and you could like start flying through some large, maybe do 2-3 larges in what, like an hour.
Yeah,
you could. That can add up.
Yeah. So
actually, that might be slow. I don't even know.
I think that is slow. I think our time was probably 10 to 12 minutes for a large.
Okay, that makes more sense. I couldn't, man, it's been so long.
And I think the absolute, you know, elite time is probably around 5 to 7 minutes.
On a large?
I think that's what I've heard people have done, 7 minutes.
I'd pay for those floors.
Yeah.
If you got the cash, I'd pay for those floors, man.
Yeah. But, we're not leeching out. We're not paying, so.
Shane says I'm not paying.
Nope, not paying. Not paying. But that's pretty much it for this episode of RSBNB Update. We'll talk more about Slayer and the possibility of Dungeoneering at the Roundtable on the weekend. It's on Saturday at 9 p.m. game time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord. And if you want to have the podcast delivered automatically to you, you can do that by visiting update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. You can subscribe on any podcast listener out there, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, you name it, Stitcher, even YouTube, youtube.com/rsbnb. Subscribe, get everything delivered from the actual episodes to the nibbles, and, you know, just have it ready for when it arrives. And, you know, I might try and get this one out early since double XP. That's been a bit of a tradition in the past. So we'll see if I can get that done after we're finished here. But I believe that's it. We'll be back next week for Quest Week. Going to be a big, big one. I think this is going to be the biggest quest in a long time that we've done, so... I am looking forward to it. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week. Take care, everyone.
See ya.